This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.
If you were trawling through the News 24, you would have seen a photograph of a man, Rabbi Nissen Goldman, standing holding a copy of the Torah in his arms, and certainly made a splash on social media. We spoke about it here on the show, and so many of our listeners saying, what is that story all about? It's an inspirational good news story, and he's here on the line with us. It's Rabbi Nissen Goldman. He's the co-director of the Chabad on Rondebosch campus. Rabbi Goldman, good morning and welcome to breakfast.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
That photograph really was quite emotive. You standing clutching the Torah in your hands. For those of us who don't know, why did you go in there and grab it and hold it? That picture suggested so much.
The Torah, the five books of Moses.
Yeah.
You know, it's the most sacred object in our faith in Judaism, and I mean, the truth is there's stories, there's lots of stories of, you know, of people risking their lives through the flames to save the Torah scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just glad that it made it and that we were able to get it out.
Yeah. I mean, there was no surety that the Kaplan Center would be engulfed by flames, but chances were pretty good that it would. Did you just decide at one point, I'm going to go? I mean, what was rushing through your head? I'm going to do this. I'm going to run. I don't know if I'm going to be allowed in. Will the emergency services let me in? Will I say, I don't care what you have to say, I'm going? I mean, what was rushing through your head?
Yeah, pretty much all of the above. I knew that I wasn't going to be allowed up there, because I was on the other side of the mountain the whole day, and our neighbors were sending pictures of the fire engines outside of the Chabad house, and our neighbor's roof got on fire. We tried to come home to get our passports and documents, and, you know, they said, don't bother, we're evacuating, and there's blockades. But eventually when it settled down and we were able to come home, and everything was safe, then, you know, I thought that we got to try and get up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody knew what the story was up there, and there was no updates, there were no photographs, because it was all blocked.
Yes.
And the only reason I was able to go up there was thanks to some of the community volunteer medics who I knew, and who offered to drive me up, you know, through the blockades. And with the sirens and the emergency response vehicle, we were able to make it through the disaster risk management teams and about three or four blockades. So thank God I had the key. And, yeah, in retrospect, it might have been, you know, quite dangerous, a game that we didn't know if it was burning or not. But at the time, honestly, it felt like there was no other option. Like, you know, it was obvious
that
you had to do it.
But you were in that sort of state of mind. You're just talking now about, what about our house? What about our belongings? What about that? That was kind of your state of mind. You're rushing. You've got to make these quick decisions. Like, irrespective of the consequence, you have a responsibility.
Yeah, it really did feel like a sort of higher sort of, I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It was really surreal. It was almost like, yeah, I was not running on my own fumes, you know?
Yes.
That this is definitely something that's way more important than you, and you just got to do it. And that's what all of us, the drivers and the medics, they, you know, we're going, and we're going to get it, and we're going to do it. You know, it doesn't matter. Ask forgiveness, not permission.
Rabbi Goldman, I want to ask you, that photograph, it's hard to see. It's very red. They were not sure. We thought at one point, is it flames? Is it lights from the emergencies? What was it? But you were, the way you were holding it, how does it look? I mean, from what we could tell, that we couldn't really see, what does it look like? Is it encased in something? How did it look, and what did you actually carry out?
What I'm holding in the image is the Torah scroll,
yeah.
The original Torah scroll, which is ink written by a scribe for over a year, the five books of Moses, ink on parchment, the original.
Wow.
What you see is the cover of the scroll, because of the sacredness, it's never uncovered unless you're actually reading it in the synagogue. So it's always covered, and that is that's the mantle, you know, the cover that I'm holding. And I'm holding it. Quite a powerful image, I guess. Actually, someone called me yesterday. I got a call from an unknown number, and he was quite emotional, and he told me that that was his grandmother's Sefer Torah that she had bought. She had saved up with all her money. She wasn't, you know, the Isaac and Jesse Kaplan, the Kaplan and Kushlik family who donated the Kaplan Center to Cape Town. That was their matriarch, Rachel Bloch, who bought it from Israel in the 1950s. So he called me, you know, quite emotional when he saw that picture. He was crying because that was his grandmother's, you know, their family's Sefer Torah.
Wow. How old is that copy?
I don't actually know how old it was, but I know that she was born in the 1800s, so could be quite old.
And as for the rest of the Kaplan Center, I mean, you went in there with the full knowledge this might burn down and I'm leaving with this, but what is the state of the center now?
Yeah, thank God the center was not burned, so thank God it's fine, which really in its own right is quite miraculous.
Yeah.
Seeing that it's right on the northeast of campus, which is right below Rhodes Memorial. Yeah. So it's one of the closest buildings to Rhodes Memorial, and it was not burned. So, it must have been the winds, went to skip a few and went to the library, which is tragic. But the center is actually untouched, thank God.
Yeah, and just from a more practical perspective out there in UCT, I mean, right now it's a mop-up operation. It's, what have we lost and where do we go from here? What's the general feeling on the campus?
Yeah, it's pretty tragic. It's devastation. Lots of students have lost all of their stuff, the Smuts and Fuller residences. We had some students in Kapano who had to evacuate. We were helping and feeding and organizing transport and accommodation. I think the major losses are, the historical, valuable archives, and that stuff is irreplaceable. It's priceless. We're just thankful that the Torah is safe and that nobody was hurt.
Yeah.
I believe. I don't think anybody was hurt.
And one thing that we noticed is the community. There was one point at which one of the NGOs was saying, please, enough. We can't take any more. We have more than enough to meet the need that is out there. And I'm sure you had a lot of people coming to the Chabad house and those that are already residents there saying, how can we help? I mean, we came together beautifully, didn't we?
Yeah. It was absolutely beautiful. The community, my phone didn't stop ringing. It was overflowing with offers of accommodation, of meals, of donations, and it's reminiscent of, Moses building the tabernacle.
Yeah.
He said, enough, please stop bringing materials.
Oh, we love that. So, and the way forward for you, even in the Chabad house, I know you said you're also concerned about, what will happen to our home here and everything that we get up to serve the Jewish community here. I mean, the way forward for you, just is it business as usual?
I think that there is an appropriate response to sort of these tragic incidents. We actually have a Jewish festival coming up called Lag B'Omer, which is actually, we mark it, funnily enough, by lighting bonfires.
Sure.
It's really interesting that this is next week, Thursday night, Lag B'Omer. So we're actually going to be bringing the students together through fire.
Mm.
Fire has this, on the one hand, it's this destructive force that can wreak havoc, but on the other hand, it also warms and nurtures and cooks and feeds and brings people together, around the fire. So we're going to use fire to bring people together now. It's been a rough year. We haven't had many of the social opportunities we used to with the community. So we're going to try and use this opportunity to through fire to bring people together, actually, in a safe way.
Yeah, and isn't it just like us people of faith having to stand up and say, this is actually now our time, this is the call on our lives, and now at this time is to stand up. We're busy, there's always stuff going on, but now we need to shine. This is the time, we're made for a time like this.
Yeah, never waste a good crisis, I think from a faith perspective, it's a particularly opportune time because, when things like this happen to people, we sort of realize the limits of our humanness, and that's when we turn to God because we are so powerless and vulnerable.
What a fantastic place to end this conversation. We are powerless and He is so powerful, and it's our responsibility to know our place and to trust Him accordingly. Rabbi Nissen Goldman, co-director of the Chabad on Rondebosch campus, thanks for your story. Thanks for a fantastic story to tell and a photo for the grandkids, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Thanks. Be blessed. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 729 AM. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.